This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Hello, I'm Noelle Lim. This morning, I speak with Richard Teo, Managing Director of Teladan Sertia, one of the most prominent property developers in Malacca, and started by Richard's father. Richard is a major shareholder, owning slightly over 40% of Teladan. Market capitalization of the company is about 500 million ringgit. Thank you for joining us. Congrats on Teladan's debut on the ACE market. Why is listing important for the company now?
Morning, Noel. Thank you for having us here this morning. Being listed is something that we have always, what my father has always wanted, because we want to expand our market presence in Malacca. At the same time, we also believe that once we're listed, it gives us more prominence to the potential buyers, and it also gives a level of confidence to the bankers. So in future, if we're applying for loan, we're taking loans, maybe the margin of financing will be higher, the interest rates might be lower. So that's why getting listed is very important for us.
Profit-wise, you make the cuts for main board listing. So why list on the ACE market?
Actually, this was on the advice of our sponsor, M&A Securities. Actually, we do need the track record for the main board. But what M&A advised us was that our land bank was not that huge. So he said, if you go to the main board, you'll be like a small fish in a big pond. Whereas if you go to the ACE market, you'll be a big fish in a small pond, and then you will stand out, and then investors will notice you. They'll be interested to invest in your company. And anyway, now the lines between the main board and the ACE market is quite blurred, you know. So whether you're on main board or ACE market, basically it's about the same.
And it's not due to the fact that you had negative cash flow in 2020 that might have cut your chances of getting approved on main board?
Our cash flow has been positive since 2017, 2018 and 2019. So we have never had a negative cash flow.
For a net outflow in 2020?
For 2020, our net operating cash flow was still positive at 4.4 million.
A listing on the ACE market is also faster, right? Because you can just bypass the Securities Commission.
For ACE market listing, we just need to apply to Bursa. But in our case, because we are a property counter, so Bursa does not have a property valuation department. Only SC has a property valuation department. So at the end of the day, we still had to submit to SC. Our property valuers, CBRE, WTW, they also had to prepare all the valuation report. And then we had to submit to SC valuation department with the answer queries from SC. So the process was about the same, even if we are going to main board or the ACE market, it's the same.
Why did Teladan opt to list instead of borrowing from banks to take advantage of the low interest rate?
Actually, I think one of the reasons we are going for listings is also one of the visions of our company. Because one of our vision of our company is eventually we want to expand out of Malacca. Because we've been in Malacca for the past 24 years, we've been doing well. Our GDV track record is like 2.1 billion for the past 24 years in Malacca. But eventually, we feel that we have to expand, we have to grow and expand to other markets like maybe Kuala Lumpur, like KL. So if you want to expand to KL, I think you will need a very strong branding, strong marketing. So I think being listed it speaks for itself. It will help our first project, our second project in KL being listed.
I also noticed that the amount of money that you raised on the ACE market, I think was almost maybe 70 million ringgit. If you were to borrow almost the entire sum of money, that might push your gearing up to maybe about 50%. And that is considered too risky for your family?
All along, our gearing has been low, 0.37 times. We always control our gearing because we don't want to be highly geared. Once you're highly geared, you'll shrink your margin.
What's the gearing level that you're comfortable at now? I think it's 0.37, so be 0.5, for example.
At 0.37 for a property counter, actually, I think it's quite low. We have still room for expansion up to maybe 0.5, up to 0.7. You know, and especially since now we're at the bottom of the economic cycle. So last time my dad always told me, you know, when times are good, don't borrow too much because it can only get worse. Because the only way is down. But once you're at the bottom of the economic cycle, actually the only way is up. At this point of time, it's good to be a bit more aggressive, a bit more bold.
Do you expect improvements in the second half of this year?
If you look at RERA's figures, actually at the second half of year 2020, I think the property sales for residential units increased about 5%. The housing minister is considering extending the HOC campaign up to the end of this year. This HOC campaign has actually helped a lot of developers like us because we are focusing mostly on residential units. So HOC free stamp duty extension on transfer documents, on loan documents. There's also a 10% discount for buyers.
I see your revenue has been declining since 2017 and likewise profits. Could you explain why that's the case?
I think also it's because of the timing of the projects. Our profit recognition is based on the percentage of completion. But for last year, we still maintain our gross profit margin between 33 to 36%. Our profit margin was still maintained at between 17 to 80%. So even though last year was a pandemic year, but we still managed to maintain our gross profit margin, our net profit margin. It was just due to a bit of delay in the construction works due to MCO lockdowns. So we were a bit behind time in the progress schedule for about 2 to 3 months. All this backlog will be actually carried forward to this year. Compared to year 2020, our net profit and gross profit will actually be higher than last year.
For anyone who wants to stay back in Malacca, either they may own their own businesses or there are job opportunities. You need investments, right? Either foreign or local investments. At one point, I know Chinese investors were quite keen on Malacca. Apart from tourism, why would local and foreign investors want to invest in Malacca?
For Malacca, actually, the GDP breakdown for hospitality, for tourism, it contributes about 48% of the state GDP. Manufacturing contributes about 38% to the state GDP. So these both industry combines about 86%. So of course, currently tourism has suffered a bit, but the manufacturing industries are still booming. We have a few large factories like Ansell doing gloves, D&O, Oriental Food, Mami, Xingyi Solar, Infineon.
Why would investors want to come and invest in Malacca or increase their investments in Malacca?
This is also due to standard of living here, because the cost of living here is not very high. So and coupled with the incentives from the state government, it makes sense for the other people to come in to invest in Malacca.
So Henry Butcher had a commentary, I think in a report or an article, they wrote that because of the Malacca Gateway project was scrapped, and this might be a dampener on foreign investments. Foreign investors will obviously be very cautious about wanting to put more money in Malacca, knowing when such a high profile project was scrapped. Do you share that sentiment?
I'm not exactly sure why the project was scrapped, but I think one of the reasons was because they were taking too long and there was no progress on site. The state government is also, they have plans to bring in a new, maybe they might have plans to bring in a new company to take over the project.
So the local government, I think they have ambitious plans to develop the Malacca Waterfront Economic Zone area. It claims that it will be worth about 100 billion ringgit, and that's about 15,000 acres. What might be Teladan's involvement in this project, if at all?
We are still purely focused on residential projects. So projects like Malacca Gateway, Malacca Waterfront, I think all of these are mostly commercial. So we don't foresee ourselves playing a big part in these projects.
Why not? You have the reputation of being a property developer in Malacca, and yes, you are quite well established as a business there.
Because I think for these mega projects, usually you will need strong government connections. And then there's also a lot of capital upfront that needs to be pumped in. So for us, we prefer to stick to our traditional bread and butter projects, which is lower risk in nature, lower development costs, and it's within our control. Because when you do our own projects, it's within our control. Sometimes when you work with other agencies, you may not be taking the lead, and then they will decide the direction of the project. So for us, we prefer to be in the driving seat.
Your family has been in this business in Malacca more than 20 years, 25 years almost, and I would imagine that you will have some very strong connection with the local governments because you also will have to get approvals for, you know, the properties that you develop as well. And also, in terms of raising capital, now that you're listed, raising capital is less of a problem now. Why wouldn't you want to take advantage of some of these opportunities that the government is trying to provide in the economic zone?
Actually, we enjoy very good relationships with the local majlis and, of course, with the state government. But for us, we have done a few JV projects with the state government as well, but it's not very big in nature. And then also recently, from the IPO proceeds of 77.3 million, we are identifying a few land bank that we want to purchase. And recently, we have already placed an earnest sum of 2% for about 519 acres. So these 519 acres will mostly be for residential units. So I think from the IPO proceeds of 77 million, and we are buying these 519 acres, we prefer to focus on this new land bank. So I think our hands are also quite, you know, we have a lot on our hands. I think it's better to focus on this future land bank, these residential units.
I'm speaking to Richard Teo, Managing Director of Teladan Setia, a prominent property developer in Malacca and listed on the AIS market. We'll discuss more about Malacca's economic prospects. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. Richard Teo, Managing Director of Teladan Setia, a Malacca-based property developer, joins us today. Earlier, we were discussing the Malacca Waterfront Economic Zone, 100 billion ringgit mega project that the local government is hoping to develop. Why would investors flock to this project?
These are big mega projects with a lot of capital upfront involved. And if you want investors to come in, you will need investors from maybe Japan, China, Hong Kong, and other countries. So only when you have an international partner, only then you're able to get international investors. If it's just local partners, I think it's a bit difficult to get international investors to come in, because there's a level of confidence and the attraction there. You know, for example, if your partner's from China, I'm sure they can get a lot of investors from China to come in.
What do you think Invest Malacca could do more to attract some of these investments that you talk about, like from China, Japan?
I think manufacturing-wise, we can do more to attract more factories to open up here. At the same time, I think our state government is doing a good job on tourism, because in many countries throughout the world, tourism is one of the major driving force behind the economy. So I think the state government is doing a good job in promoting the Malacca Gateway, Malacca Waterfront, because this will help to boost international tourism to Malaysia, and especially Malacca.
So you think they don't need to do any more to attract investments?
Because when I first came here in Malacca 24 years ago, Malacca was predominantly a manufacturing state. I think maybe at the time 60 or 70% of the GDP came from manufacturing. But about more than 10 years ago, one of our chief ministers actually started to promote tourism. And after that, you know, it actually helped to increase the state GDP. Before that, a lot of Malaccans were actually, you know, going to Singapore to work, going to KL to work. But then more than 10 years ago, when I saw, you know, the Malacca tourism picking up, you know, and then I saw a lot of Malaccans, the young Malaccans, staying back in Malacca and not going to KL and not going to Singapore anymore. So I have seen how tourism has changed the state of Malacca. And so even until now, I'm a strong believer that tourism will help to elevate Malacca to a bigger state.
But the numbers do show, even before COVID-19, that in terms of tourism, we are already starting to lose out to a few countries in Asia. So do you think we could also be doing more to boost tourism in Malacca? And I also think about it, there are not that many good class hotels in Malacca. You would think that if it's such a major tourism hub, there would be many more five-star hotels.
A lot of the tourists who come here, they only stay for one day. So I think the Malacca state government is trying to boost up the tourism industries to attract the tourists to stay for another night itself. So in total, 2 nights. So that's why I think the state government is moving in the right direction by exploring Malacca Gateway, by boosting the Malacca Waterfront Project to attract more tourist attractions, to increase the tourist attraction so that tourists can stay for another night in Malacca.
And meanwhile, why do you think it's necessary to branch out to Klang Valley when there still seems to me quite a lot of work that can be done in Malacca?
We want to move to KL because this is KL is the capital of Malaysia. We are also doing a lot of high-rise projects. So we have really had the expertise in doing high-rise projects. So it makes sense for us to utilize this expertise in KL. That's why we plan to go to KL.
But there are also a lot of big fishes swimming around in KL. How are you going to distinguish yourself in this fairly crowded market?
A few years ago, we already bought a piece of land in KL, in Sri Kembangan. So we've already made preparations to go KL. But of course, we know that if you're not listed, we go there, you know, we will not stand out at all. But at least this time round, being listed, it will help us to maybe better position ourselves. And then increase our market, our market branding, and also increase our sales. So that's why we are prepared for that.
Is it also opportunistic? Like you have many contacts in KL or in Klang Valley, and that's why there are more opportunities to buy land there?
We have a lot of friends in KL. Friends who were previously in Malacca, and then after that, they were promoted into KL. So we have a network of friends there. We also know a few sales agencies who have been helping us with projects in Malacca, especially on like Bali residences, Atlantis residences. So these sales agencies also told us, when you come to KL, let us know. We will help you to sell our projects. So that's why we are also very, very confident of achieving good sales in KL, because we have this network of sales agencies who can help us to promote our projects.
So in Malacca, the sweet spot is 400 to 500,000 ringgit purchase price. In KL, what do you foresee would be that good range for you?
For KL, I think the price range will be slightly higher. For Malacca, the sweet spot is between 200,000 to 400k. I think for KL, the affordability range is between 400k to 500k. So as long as we keep our starting price below 500k, we should be okay.
You were quoted in the newspapers. A few newspapers carried your quote. You said that the price you're selling it is 400 to 500,000. But you think the sweet spot in Malacca is 200 to 400,000.
Yes, currently it's 200 to 400k.
So you're just pricing your homes a little bit more premium.
Yes.
In KL, so you mentioned Sri Kembangan. I think that's quite near MRT. What would be your strategy for KL?
Well, KL project actually is located just opposite KTM Sedang. And then on the other side, there's the Mines Shopping Center. And then on the other side, there's a lake, which is called South Lakes. So for this development, it will be a TOD development, transit-oriented development. And at the same time, because there's a lake there, so I believe it will be a major attraction for the home buyers. Because previously, we had home buyers from KL who bought our property at Atlantis Residences. When they first came, when they saw the sea, the Straits of Malacca, they were so excited because they said we seldom see water, we seldom see sea in KL. So I believe with the lake beside our land at Sri Kembangan, it'd be a major selling attraction, because once you have a lake there, there'll be no other buildings that will be very close to you. So there's a big buffer there, So it'll be a very wonderful and exciting project for us.
Right. So generally, you may be looking towards that kind of trend near nature and also near transportation hub.
Yes, correct.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Noel, thank you for having us.
That was Richard Teo, Managing Director of Teladan Setia. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.